are Locked On Saints, your daily New Orleans Saints podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is good, Houdat Nation and Houdat family? Welcome into this Thursday edition of Locked On Saints, brought to you by the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Ross Jackson here at Ross Jackson NOLA on Twitter, editor over at CanalStreetChronicles.com, and your host covering your New Orleans Saints every single Monday through Friday. Today's episode is brought to you by Built Bar, the best tasting protein bar on the market. Go to BuiltBar.com and use the promo code LOCKEDON to get $10 off of your first box. And for this week only, you'll get a $5 off discount no matter what off of any purchase for their Memorial Day week sale. On today's episode, the Saints sign another new face, offensive lineman James Hurst. We'll talk about what he brings to the team and how he can fight for a roster spot. Then we'll dive into our Throwback Thursday segment, taking a look at the Saints' most recent matchups with each of the NFC North teams, a division that the Saints actually have a pretty good track record going up against. And then we'll wrap up the show with a quick discussion about the Jadeveon Clowney rumors that are circulating, why the Saints should be interested in Clowney, and why Clowney should be interested in the Saints. We got all that and a little bit of lagniappe for you on today's episode of Locked On Saints, your team every day. The New Orleans Saints have reached an agreement with veteran offensive lineman James Hurst, formerly of the Baltimore Ravens, on a one-year deal. That's our New Orleans Saints lead story of the day today with Ross Jackson of Locked On Saints. So James Hurst, 6 years in the NFL, again, all with the Baltimore Ravens, and he played both tackle positions and both guard positions for numerous snaps, including full-on starts at both tackle positions as well as left guard. So this is a really, really good signing for the Saints in terms of continuing their theme of versatility, flexibility, and sort of being multiple, as Sean Payton recalls it. Because you look at the left tackle and left guard positions, they are unfortunately two of the most commonly injured positions along the offensive line when it comes to the Saints, with Teron Armstead and Andres Pete, both who deal with their fair share of injuries. Now, they sign him to a one-year deal here, and he will face a PED suspension in 2020 for the first four games, which sounds like a detriment, but actually could end up working in Hurst's favor. And what I mean by that is that he doesn't count against the roster for the first four games of the season. So if the Saints wanted to, they could carry him on the roster through his suspension, allow him to keep working with the team, things like that, but he just wouldn't be able to see the field. And with that being the case, it gives the Saints an opportunity to evaluate play on the field, as well as any injuries that might take place early in the season, especially with this abbreviated and truncated offseason that could end up leading to some conditioning issues early on in the year, and then make a decision once he is to be reinstated after his suspension, whether or not they're going to keep him on the team. They could release him at that point. They could allow him to come back onto the team, however it is that they want to go about it, and they could move on from somebody or send somebody to injured reserve if that's necessary. So it actually gives him a little bit of flexibility, and the Saints a little bit of flexibility in terms of making their decision with him. Now, of course, on the other hand, it simply means that he's not available for a quarter of the season, and therefore, do you want to keep him around if he doesn't prove in training camp to be sort of over or an upgrade over any of the other guys that you have as potential depth along the offensive line? Because even though he's suspended for the first four games of the season, he can still participate in training camp and leading in, and even the preseason leading into the regular season. The suspension doesn't really do anything until he is set to play a week one through week four regular season game with New Orleans or wherever it is that he ends up. So could actually end up working in his favor. We'll see exactly how the Saints tend to look to navigate that type of a situation. And of course, his climb up the roster is definitely just that. It's a climb. It's an uphill battle for him with guys like Easton, Tom, and Clapp to compete with, who the Saints all like. Easton at this point, I think, is kind of a necessity. He's somebody that they brought in to play center, but can play anywhere along the interior. You've got two young guys in the interior. You've got the conditioning issues. You have somebody like Andres Pete who gets injured every now and then. And so having Nick Easton on the roster, I think, and his NFL experience and his Saints experience in terms of being able to play in the regular season, even though he wasn't fantastic, he was serviceable, he was adequate, and you have an elite quarterback that gets the ball out between 2.5 to 2.7 seconds, and that makes a big difference for an offensive line. So I think Easton is somebody that does stay, but the Saints really like Tom, they really like Will Clapp, and so can Hurst come in and beat these guys the Saints are already invested in? That's going to be a big part of his competition for the offseason. You also look at a guy like Ethan Greenidge, who held a roster spot all season but never actually was active on game day. And so you look at a guy like James Hurst, and can he slide into Ethan Greenidge's role over a guy like Calvin Throckmorton or potentially even Derek Kelly, who spent the last couple of years with the Saints, spent last year on the practice squad. So Hurst may be coming in just as somebody that can play multiple positions along the second and third teams, but could actually also end up having a path to the roster. You look at the games that he's played, 90 total games with Baltimore, 44 of them starts, 35 of the total games in which he appeared were at left tackle, but he started there 16 times. And while of the 14 career sacks that he's allowed, he gave up 9 of those at left tackle, 7 of them actually came in his first 2 years in 2014 and 2015. You can see the same pattern with the hits that he allowed on the quarterback as well. You can see 16 of 26 in terms of his career came at left tackle, but 12 of them came in the first season. And that does include appearing in 11 games last year in 2019, which is the same amount as he appeared in each 2014 and 2017 season. And he gave up only one hurry all season at that left tackle position last year, including 2 starts at the end of the year. So James Hurst's chances to make the roster probably come down to how he plays when it comes to training camp, but also could come down to the corresponding move that's still upcoming that could provide some context, sort of like the Anthony Chiccolo signing when we learn later that Noah Spence was being moved to the reserve non-football injury list. So details on the deal have not yet been released, and there's still a corresponding move on the way that could actually provide some context to James Hurst's actual opportunity to make this 53-man roster. So we'll see. I mean, James Hurst could potentially be next in that long line of players that the Saints end up signing to smaller deals in the second, third, fourth, seventh, you know, waves of free agency that ends up becoming a contributor at some point. Could he finally be that guy to where if Teron Armstead gets hurt, then it doesn't affect 2 or 3 different positions on the offensive line because all you have to do is plug James Hurst in as opposed to move this player here, move this player here, move this player here. That could be it. That could be that James Hurst becomes a guy that can play either one of those tackle roles as well as either one of those guard roles should there be an injury. It's helpful to have that. It's helpful to have that. We've seen the Saints thrive with that type of offensive line structure before. Worked really well with them when it came to a guy like Sinio Kelamete, for instance. So we'll see exactly what happens there. But coming up next, we're going to dive into our Throwback Thursday segment, taking a look back at the most recent matchups between the Saints and the NFC North. And then we'll talk a little Jadeveon Clowney. We've got that coming up for you next here on Locked On Saints, your team every day. Today's episode is brought to you by Built Bar, the best tasting protein bar on the market. They are the healthy snacks to keep me from diving into the potato chips. They are the protein boost that I need to help me continue to get throughout the day where I feel like I'm busier than ever, even though I'm at home. And they are just the saving grace every now and then when I just need to be able to eat something quick because I got to continue working and I can't, you know, step away to completely cook a meal or whatever. And I need something to tide me over. They're fantastic. 4 new flavors right now: peanut butter, banana, pineapple, upside down cake, coconut pecan pie, which I have on my way right now at this moment, and blueberry lemon, which is also one of my favorite flavors. But I love the mint chocolate cream, the chocolate raspberry cream. There's a lot of very, very good flavors out there. So if you want to give them all a shot and just help make your life a little bit more convenient right now at a time of ever inconvenience, go ahead and head over to builtbar.com. Make sure you use the promo code locked on to get $10 off of your first box, but head over this week and no matter what, you're going to get $5 off of any purchase. So if this is your first box, you actually get $15 off of your first box. Just use the promo code locked on this week at builtbar.com, builtbar.com. All right, y'all. Thank you, as always, for being here for another episode of Locked On Saints. If this is your first time catching the show, be sure to subscribe or follow, however it is that you listen to your podcast. We're here every single Monday through Friday, giving you the absolute latest on the New Orleans Saints. We're going to dive now into our Throwback Thursday segment. We took a look at the AFC West last week and all of the most recent matchups there. We'll take a look at the NFC North today. And before I jump into it, just because it's kind of heavy on my heart, I want to acknowledge everything that's going on in Minneapolis right now. I'm not going to talk about it. I'm not going to go into detail about it because that's not my job when it comes to this. And I'm not a stick to sports guy, but I am a hey, do your job guy. So what I actually want to say, as opposed to voicing an opinion or starting an argument or anything like that, is that if anybody wants to talk about it, if anybody needs to talk about it, if anybody just needs to get stuff off their chest, I'm here. My DMs are open, Ross Jackson, N-O-L-A on Twitter. You can hit me up on Facebook as well. You can shoot me an email, RossJacksonASC@gmail.com, whatever. I just want people to know that I'm seeing it and that I'm aware of it and that I have my opinions about it that, again, I won't voice on this program, but I am more than happy to talk about it with anybody as long as it's a constructive conversation to where we don't come in trying to change each other's minds, anything like that. If it's constructive and we're here to help each other and we're here to learn from each other, hit me up. I'm here for you all day. I just needed to say that. Thank you very much for giving me, you know what, 30 seconds of your time to at least acknowledge what's going on, because I don't feel right not acknowledging it, especially with the community that I'm a part of, the community that I'm from. And I mean, like, opening my door and looking outside my community, right? So this is very important to me. So I just wanted to say that. So let's dive back into the show, get back to the sports, get back to the distraction, get back to the happy. Let's jump to the NFC North. So the Saints have actually been very productive against these NFC North teams, with wins against all of them in their most recent regular season matchups. Regular season, unfortunately, can't say the same thing for the last game against Minnesota in the playoffs, which we will be revisiting a little bit in this segment, but it hurts me just as much as it hurts you, so I'm not going to dote on it. The last time the Saints played all three of these teams in the regular season was 2017, where they went 3-1 against the NFC North, and then in 2014, they did the same thing, going 3-1, so let's go ahead and revisit the most recent matchups against each team. We'll start with the Green Bay Packers, as that's who the Saints will meet earliest in the 2020 season, in week 3 at home in the Dome. It's going to be a lot of fun. Last time was 2017 in Green Bay. Brent Hundley was starting for the Saints. I'm sorry, not for the Saints, excuse me, for the Green Bay Packers, for the injured Aaron Rodgers at the time, and the Saints ran away with this one. Well, maybe I'm exaggerating a bit. It was 26-17, but it felt like they were running away with this one, even though the Packers did get off to a hot start, going up 7-0 and then 14-7 after an Aaron Jones big touchdown run and then a touchdown pass to Randall Cobb for their second score. But then that's when New Orleans clamped down and suffocated the Packers' inept offense without their signal caller. You can't blame them for that. The game was capped by Drew Brees's leap, a nice little patented Drew Brees leap, for with less than 5 minutes left in the game to go up even more and to create further separation as they went on to score the 26 point there. Huntley was held to only 87 passing yards and a quarterback ranking of 39.9. when it came to his passer rating. Now, this 2020 matchup is early enough in the season that you should absolutely expect that Aaron Rodgers will be healthy enough and ready to go, but his weapons haven't really changed since 2017, and that's probably one of the biggest issues that Packers fans have with the Packers, which I guess would mean that the Packers ownership has with the Packers since the public owned team, but the building around Aaron Rodgers has not been great, and so his two biggest weapons, unless A.J. Dillon catches fire right at the beginning of the season, which I don't assume will be the case because Jamal Williams will probably still be ahead of him, but his two biggest weapons are still Davante Adams and Aaron Jones. So if you limit one of them, you make the team entirely one-dimensional, which is something that the Saints are trying to avoid allowing to happen to themselves going into the 2020 season here. And the Packers just seem not to care because they want to build for the future. And so the Packers, speaking of that, could end up facing some early season issues as well, depending upon how the relationship of Jordan Love and Aaron Rodgers plays into the franchise toxicity or lack thereof, hopefully for the team in the locker room and potentially more. We'll see if that actually ends up being a thing. But either way, the Saints actually lead this series since 2006, 4-2, including two wins in their last two meetings in 2017 and 2014. So they'll look to make it three straight here in 2020. The Detroit Lions, they'll meet the Saints the week right after. They play the Packers week 4 in 2020 at Detroit. Week 6 was in New Orleans off of a bye week, and it was a 53-38 barn burner in New Orleans. What an incredible game that nearly killed me with the way that it affected my heart rate, the palpitations, the vapors, everything that it gave me. The Saints had three defensive touchdowns in this game, while Detroit had one with a punt return for a touchdown as well. The Saints were up 45-10 in the third quarter, 35 points. The Lions stormed back with 28 straight points, a touchdown pass to Marvin Jones, a touchdown pass to Darren Fells, a 74-yard punt return touchdown that I mentioned before by Jamal Agnew, who's actually moving to wide receiver, they expect, in 2020. And then a big man score when A'shaun Robinson intercepted a pass at the 2-yard line at the line of scrimmage and then stumbled his way into the end zone. So the Saints actually opened this game 7-0 with a defensive score, with Kenny Vaccaro recovering a strip sack by Alex Okafor, who actually played college together, which is actually pretty cool. And then they ended up closing out the game with Cam Jordan, who batted a pass at the line of scrimmage, batted up in the air, caught the interception in the end zone for the touchdown. The Saints had about 5 minutes left to get through in that game, and they were to hold on to that 14-point win. That game nearly killed me, like I mentioned, but it was super, super fun. And the Saints actually win this series right now since 2006 as well, 5-3. Up next, the Chicago Bears. They will meet the Saints in Chicago at Soldier Field week 8, the same place that they met them last year, week 7 in the 2019 season. The Saints, so resilient in that week 7 game in 2019. No Jared Cook, no Alvin Kamara, and oh, of course, a little thing like no Drew Brees. They still threw a touchdown to a tight end, even though Jared Cook wasn't there, threw one to Josh Hill. They still ran for 151 yards, 119 of those by Latavius Murray. And it took a little while for this one to get rolling. Two early touchdowns went back-to-back with a Josh Hill score and then a Cordarrelle Patterson ensuing kickoff return for a touchdown. And the teams went into halftime with the Saints leading only 12-10. But then after that, the Saints created some distance, opening it up 36-10 and just blowing that game open with two rushing touchdowns by Latavius Murray and a touchdown pass by, or a touchdown catch rather, by Taysom Hill. And then the Bears surged in late again, but a couple of the big things to come from this game were actually injuries for the Saints. JT Gray had gotten hurt earlier in the game on a blocked punt that actually went for a safety. That's how the Saints opened up. They led 2-0 to begin that game. And then Eli Apple also got hurt very, very late in the game. People weren't sure if he was going to play the next week, and then he ended up coming back and ended up being a non-issue, and he ended up turning out okay. However, he wasn't really the same for the rest of the season, and you wonder if that injury paired with the injury that he would then go on to suffer later against the Tennessee Titans in week 16 have something to do with the fact that he hasn't actually been able to find a contract so far this offseason. So the Saints right now also lead this series since 2006. Spoiler alert, they lead every series against the NFC North 2006. Like I mentioned, they've been successful against this division, 5-2 against the Bears, having won their last five, actually, which actually includes three visits to Soldier Field. And finally, we'll finish this up with the Minnesota Vikings. The Saints will meet the Minnesota Vikings and host the Minnesota Vikings week 16, Christmas Day, the matchup in 2020, their last matchup, of course, being the wild card game in 2019. I don't think I have to do much recapping of this one. It's still pretty fresh on all of our minds. The Saints beat in the interior all night. Play callings felt very conservative. Run defense had issues. Secondary had injuries. And the Vikings end up winning this game in an overtime walk-off touchdown. So, look, I've talked about this before, but I'll say it again. In this particular loss, there was nothing outside of the Saints' control. There was no miracle heave and catch and missed tackle. There was no blatant no call. You could talk about the Rudolph push off if you want, but no blatant no call that destroyed the game for New Orleans. This was really not at all out of their control, the loss of this game. No freak of nature, no, you know, something that completely unexplainable happened. They got beat. And more importantly, it's diagnosable. You can watch this game and see some of the shortcomings that kind of came all around throughout four quarters. Situational defensive play calling, offensive play calling that didn't really adjust to the Vikings' defensive attack, the Saints' defensive line losing at the edges, etc. There were a lot of different things that factored into this loss and the Saints struggling in this game. The Saints actually now have the ability to learn from that loss, unlike the last 2 years where they were ousted by something they had no control over, and I think that they will learn from this. And this year, the Vikings have scrubbed nearly their entire secondary, lost both Linval Joseph and Everson Griffin. Griffin, at least for now, who is still a free agent, who I hope that the Saints will pursue at some point, but we'll talk about that in the next segment. And the Saints have a more aggressive attack ready for that defense. I truly believe that they will. The regular season, the Saints lead this one 4-2 against the Vikings since 2006. So again, a lot of success for the Saints against the NFC North, and they'll look to continue that in 2020, I believe that they will. All right, coming up next, we're going to close out the show with a little bit of talk about Jadeveon Clowney. Should the Saints pursue him? Why they should, and why he should be interested in New Orleans? We got that coming up for you next year on Locked On Saints, your team every day. All right, Houdat Nation, wrapping up today's show with a quick conversation that I'm very excited about having, and it centers around Jadeveon Clowney. Jadeveon Clowney and the New Orleans Saints. Is it possible that the Saints are interested in Jadeveon Clowney? Let's start, first of all, with where all this came from. So a good friend of mine, Nader Murphick, who you can catch over on WBOK in New Orleans, 1230 a.m., what New Orleans is talking about, the radio station that he and my other good friend, Brian Bieniemy, hosting the Sports Overtime show over on WBOK Radio, again, 1230 a.m. in New Orleans. Nader took some time. He went to Twitter yesterday and mentioned that from a reliable source that the Saints have interest in Jadeveon Clowney, working on a potential, and the intent would be to work towards a one-year deal with a lot of details left to flesh out, basically. And so here's the thing. First of all, we can't get excited about the fact that this is some news here, because what we're being told is that the Saints are interested in Jadeveon Clowney. Not that the Saints have agreed to terms with, not that the Saints are in process of working on a deal with, or that they're in conversation about a contract with his agent, nothing like that. Just simply, they have some interest in him. And as far as I'm concerned, they absolutely should have some interest in him. It's Jadeveon Clowney. Now, don't get me wrong. Jadeveon Clowney had a down year last year, played in only 13 games, only 3 sacks during that time, and only 7 tackles for a loss as well. Even when you look at him back in college, 24 career sacks back in college, he had a 9.5 sack, or he had a 13 sack year. And then his senior year or his final year before coming out, not nearly as productive, though he made the big highlight reel tackle coming into the draft that I think sometimes can do just as much as being productive on the field. The highlight that you can put together that draws a lot of attention and going viral, things like that. However, we can't just pretend like Jadeveon Clowney's not a good player. 9.5 sacks and 9 sacks in his last 2 seasons for the Houston Texans. That was after starting off his career slow because of the fact that he had an injury coming in after the draft. So he was, I think he only appeared in 4 games his first season, his rookie year. So look, we can't say that the Saints shouldn't be interested in Jadeveon Clowney. That would just be ridiculous. And why should the Saints be interested in him? Well, they have been very invested in bringing in a third edge rusher. Last year, they were looking at Ezekiel Ansah. They were connected to the trade market when it came to Robert Quinn, who eventually went to the Dallas Cowboys, only to end up in New Orleans to wreak havoc on the Saints offensive line early on last season. And so the Saints, it makes a lot of sense because you look at that unit back then when they were trying to add Ezekiel Elliott or, I'm sorry, Ezekiel Ansah, that would have been a whole different story, but Ezekiel Ansah or add Robert Quinn. They had Cam Jordan, they had Marcus Davenport, they had Carl Granderson, they had Trey Hendrickson, and this year they have Cameron Jordan, they've got Marcus Davenport, they've got Trey Hendrickson, and they've got Carl Granderson. So it's really the same unit in terms of the top 4 guys. So why not look to also add to this unit? It doesn't make sense to me that people would say, well, the Saints are fine when it comes to edge rusher in terms of their rotation. They have a great rotation. They have a great rotation, which is true. They do have a great rotation because of the number of players that they have. But how effective those players are have a severe drop off when it comes from the difference between Cam Jordan and Marcus Davenport, your starters, and the guys that rotate in like Trey Hendrickson and Carl Granderson. So it makes sense to me that the Saints would be interested in finding a third, more effective, more efficient pass rusher. So this to me feels like one of those things to where, and I'm guilty of this, or not guilty of it, because it's not a bad thing. I did this when it came to Jameis Winston. When everybody talked about, oh, Jameis Winston, New Orleans Saints should sign Jameis Winston, I was like, no, that's completely antithetical to everything that New Orleans is about and everything that Sean Payton is about with those turnovers. But then you tell me that he's coming to New Orleans with a $1.1 million contract with the intent just to learn and get better from the Harvard College program of quarterbacks and making at max $4.9 million with incentives that he'll probably not reach because some of them include playoff snaps. Some of them include being nominated to the Pro Bowl. He's not going to see the field that much. Then I'm saying 100% he should be a New Orleans Saint. I have no problem with that. Welcome, Jameis. Thank you so much for signing up. 100%. When you talk about the idea of Jadeveon Clowney to New Orleans, even if you don't like Jadeveon Clowney, the player, for whatever reason that might be, or you think that it's because of his contract, if the Saints can work out a reasonable 1-year deal, there's no reason for this signing not to happen. If they are indeed working on a contract or get to a point to where they are working on a contract, right? Because there's several steps that have to take place to go from interest to ink, right? A lot of steps have to take place there. And if that were to happen, then it makes perfect sense for the Saints, especially if the 1-year deal makes sense. Now, if you're giving him, a 3-year, $45 million contract, then yeah, I'll be on this podcast bashing the signing all day. Not a problem. But if you're able to get him on a 1-year reasonable deal, then that makes sense. Now, why would Jadeveon Clowney take that is the other question. When he's been noted all season as demanding a ton of money, well, he's already turned down a bunch of money from the Miami Dolphins. It is also just reported by ESPN that he turned down a bunch of money as well from the Cleveland Browns, who have the most salary cap space available in the NFL right now with over $37 million. Miami has over $23 million to spend. New Orleans has about 9.1. But why would Jadeveon Clowney take that money? Well, if he doesn't want money from the Cleveland Browns, if he doesn't want money from the Miami Dolphins, then what is he looking for? He's probably looking for a chance to win. And what better place to go for a chance to win than the New Orleans Saints, who are favored to win the NFC this year, who have 2 very, very good to elite, in terms of Cam Jordan, pass rushers to take the pressure off of you, who have a rotation available to help keep you healthy and and maximize the efficiency of your snaps. And the Saints would end up getting somebody that can be very effective in the run game. Jadeveon Clowney is a very good pass defender. I'm sorry, a very good run defender, as well as a good pass rusher. So you get him into that Trey Hendrickson role of rotating with Marcus Davenport. And unlike Trey Hendrickson, you don't lose out on the run game. So it makes sense. It does make sense. Is it going to happen? I have no idea. I have no idea. And no one's claiming that it will happen. Larry Holder and Mike Triplett both mentioned yesterday that there's nothing pointing to the fact that it could happen or that it will happen for certain. But Mike Triplett and Larry Holder also acknowledge never say never when it comes to the Saints and a big signing at this point in the offseason. So all we could do really is sit back and be patient and see what happens. Remember, the report is that there was interest, or rather that there is interest. Not that a contract is on the way, not that the two sides are working to, you know, agree upon a deal, not that they're ironing out details, nothing like that. There's interest. So we'll wait and see. Does the interest turn to ink or not? Either way, if the Saints end up pulling off a signing like this, it works for Jadeveon Clowney, who didn't have a strong season last year and is probably not going to get a big contract this year, but he can come to a system that's going to allow him to thrive, maximize his efficiency, maximize his productivity in the rotation, and maximize his health, which is always going to be a big concern when it comes to signing Jadeveon Clowney to a long-term contract before he hits the market next year, potentially get himself a ring here in New Orleans. It makes a lot of sense. It makes a lot of sense. And if the Saints can't sign him, go after Everson Griffin for all I care. And I have no reason to believe that they're not interested in both players, right? They should be interested in adding a third pass rusher, and Jadeveon Clowney maybe is the guy, maybe is not, but it would make a lot of sense if he was. So, right, that's my opinion on Jadeveon Clowney. We'll see exactly how that works out coming up on tomorrow's episode. We'll get your questions from the Locked On Saints Facebook group. We'll talk about the votes that are upcoming later on today, voting on onside kick, talking about some more fake referee, how do we make the game better type conversations that aren't actually going to be implemented correctly, and then they're going to cut them before the final season or before the following season because, oh, well, that didn't work. So we'll see exactly what the NFL does to avoid getting better, and then we'll talk about it a little bit more when it comes to the return to play and how that's going to go down. We're seeing a lot of models from other teams. How does this affect the NFL? We'll talk about that tomorrow. Make sure that now that you're done here, you tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On NFL Draft. Check in with the homies, Ben Solak and Trevor Sikkim, about what's going on with the NFL draft. They did a great redraft of the 2020 or 2019 draft a couple days ago with random order. The Saints ended up with Tua Tagovailoa. Very fun episode. Make sure you listen to that as well as everything upcoming with them. And as always, I thank you very much for being here on today's episode of Locked On Saints. Thank you, as always, for coming through. Once again, I am Ross Jackson. You can find me on Twitter at Ross Jackson, N-O-L-A. Hit me up. Let me know how the family's doing. Let me know how you're living. Let me know how your mom and them. Tell your friends, family, and fellow Saints fans about the show. And if you haven't already, please take a moment to subscribe. Drop that 5-star rating and review. I thank you so much for all your support and for helping me grow this family. This has been Locked On Saints. And trust Hudat Nation, I'll holla at you.